welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest is Dr. Ben Lerner, a chiropractor who owned 5 Central Florida clinics, caring for 12,000 patients per month. The clinic he functioned in personally adjusted more than 2,000 patients per week, and he worked as the team chiropractor for multiple organizations, including the Orlando Magic, the Houston Astros, and USA Wrestling, taking care of them at the Olympics in 1996 and 2000. He formerly owned and operated both a Gold's and World Gym and a gym management company, including running a chiropractic clinic out of World Gym. He is the author of 9 books and has spent multiple weeks on the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and Christian Booksellers best-selling list. Dr. Ben sits on the board of the Billion Soul Initiative, where he is the chairman of Global Wellness, co-founder of Maximum Living Health Centers, and the Maximum Living Foundation. He continues to own and manage a clinic in Celebration, Florida, with his wife, Dr. Sherry Lerner. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Ben, and I look forward to hearing how you practice holistic health. Now, first, why do you believe we need a completely different healthcare model?
I think mostly, you know, you want to see people getting results. As you look at the statistics year in and year out, people are not healthy. And so we've spent all this money and all this time and effort on healthcare, and yet there's more people dying of cancer now than ever. The number for Alzheimer's is now up to 5.4 million, a number that's doubled in the last 2 decades. There's, you know, 118 million antidepressants prescribed for some 57 million people. Kids are now, in the area of things like autism, you've got as many as 1 in 68 kids, 1 mm-hmm. in 35 if you're a boy, who are autistic. Mm-hmm. And diseases that, you know, were once reserved for adults, like adult onset diabetes or high cholesterol, high blood pressure, these are affecting millions of children as well. So it's just getting worse. So clearly we need a different system.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. So then would you tell us what the maximized living healthcare delivery system is?
Well, you know, the solution obviously isn't just more money or better insurance coverage. Mm-hmm. You know, we throw enough money at this thing, and you know, the reality is that, you know, healthcare really isn't healthcare, it's sick care.
Right.
I'm sure you've probably talked about on the show before.
Right.
Just finding a better way to pay for it is not the solution. So with Maximized Living, we have what we call a 5 essentials delivery system, and it addresses these key components of holistic healthcare. So we're looking at the first essential, which is maximized mind. And so it's that mental stress component as a sort of a different spin on it, which is just understanding the truth about what it really means to build health and be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Our second component is the neurological, so maximizing nerve supply, which is something that is done chiropractically. The third one is nutrition, but maximizing the quality of the nutrients. So we live in a day and time where people just don't have the right amount of nutrients. The quality of the nutrients aren't good. So most nutrition's been relegated down to dieting, but this is more about getting good quality nutrients in your body, and obviously, you know, the nutritional component of diet as well.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, our fourth essential, is the impact of exercise, not just so much the idea of exercise. So we're maximizing oxygen levels, we're maximizing lean muscle tissue, the results you need to see from exercise that equal a healthier body. And then finally, the fifth one is minimizing toxins, because we just completed a book on cancer, and we had to avoid making the toxicity section 75% of the book, because, you know, there are so many links back to cancer,
mm-hmm.
so many toxins we're bombarded with these days. If this isn't a part of something we address in healthcare, then we're clearly not addressing a key component of what's getting people sick.
Right, right. And when you mentioned that it's sick care instead of health care, I had a personal experience. I changed doctors. I'm 80, and I changed doctors, and my new doctor examined me. I changed because I had a woman doctor who hadn't examined me in 4 years since I'd been with her. So he examined me, and he said, well, I'll see you in a year. And I said, well, I'm used to coming every 4 months to have my lab checked to make sure that I'm still where I'm supposed to be. And he said, well, you're healthy. He said, I can only see you once a year because you're healthy. I said, in other words, it's not health care anymore. It's sick care. He said, yeah.
Wow, yeah. They don't usually admit it openly like that. But
right, right.
Exactly right, yeah.
But I was very disappointed because I thought, well, with all of this Obamacare, it was going to be better. But apparently for seniors, it's not. I hope it's better for other people since it doesn't seem to be for me. So where has your program worked?
So we are in actually four countries. And what we look to do, for example, in Africa, where we are in Zimbabwe, actually, you know, as much as there's a lot of political challenge to working in a country like Africa and in an area like Zimbabwe, you've got so many sick people and they're aware of it. So with AIDS and cholera and malaria and these all these serious birth defects, people know they need the help. They're not waiting like in America till they get super sick and then they plug into the system and just get sick care. There they realize we've got to do something immediately. And so what we're finding in areas like that is we can be super effective because they realize that the key is less sick people, is that if you work on your health. So our sort of motto is, you know, we're fighting for our health so we don't end up fighting disease. And they realize there that you cannot wait until you get one of their diseases because they don't just have like high blood pressure and high cholesterol. They get these serious life-threatening conditions, and so anything they can do to build health is important. And so we're there. We're in Puerto Rico. We are in Canada and the U.S., and actually we are currently opening up a clinic in the Caribbean in St. Vincent's where heart disease and diabetes are through the roof. And so through going in there and taking a much more proactive approach at lifestyle, again, rather than dealing with all these diseases and treating them, we're going to go there to lower the incidence of disease and then prevent it from happening in the first place.
Great. Then how does your program work for the average patient?
So for, again, from a preventative approach, we just did this book on cancer, for example, and we know that President Nixon launched the war on cancer in 1971, but that if you actually look at now what is over 40 years later, there's actually far more diagnoses of cancer occurring daily and far more people dying from cancer weekly than there was in 1971. So even if we adjusted for age and for population growth, we've still made virtually no improvement in cancer.
Right, right.
And so as we approach every person, we would look at everybody and say, well, everybody needs to not get cancer. So let's take a proactive approach to lifestyle and your health through these five essentials so that we don't end up getting it in the first place. But then if we do get a patient with cancer, so actually my co-author in the book, the book's called Cancer Killers because our bodies were designed to kill cancer. And so my co-author was somebody diagnosed with cancer but absolutely did not want to go through the medical route. And so the difficulty was, and it was somewhat of the inspiration for writing the book, is finding the appropriate route if you're not going to do chemo and radiation. And they'd only given him 6 weeks to live. It had gone too far. He had let it really go, and it had reached his brain and, you know, it had metastasized to lymph nodes. It was just one of these bad deals. But now it's been over 2 years, and he's perfectly fine with no signs or symptoms of cancer whatsoever. And did it through really this five essential approach. We had to do some more aggressive things. He did things like IV nutrition. He did have to send his blood work and things like that out of the country to get recommendations on what he could do nutritionally and to help himself. He saw some oncologists that did alternative things, not just chemo and radiation. But the point was that, you know, while our goal is to never get the disease, even when somebody does have it, building health and getting your body's health and well-being under control is always a great idea versus just treating the conditions and the symptoms with medications and surgery.
I like what your colleague did. I had lung cancer 38 years ago, and they gave me 6 months to live. So I refused chemo and surgery because I decided if I was going to die, I wanted to be comfortable my last 6 months. And so I used all natural alternative, including Laetril, which was illegal. And I went back to my doctor periodically for checks, but I didn't tell him I was doing anything. And after 2 years, he said he guessed he made the wrong diagnosis. And so I had a good close friend that I had taught with at Duke, who was at this point the medical director for Blue Cross Blue Shield in North Carolina. And he wanted to see the lab and the x-rays and the biopsy and everything. And I took it all down. And he told me, yes, you definitely had lung cancer. So I have gotten very much into the alternative health problems. I get a lot of people that come to me asking because of my history, what I did, and I usually give them a chapter out of my upcoming book, and then I find out where they live and if they would like to see an alternative. Then you'll also be at the Olympics, and what will you be doing there?
We created what's called the Wellness Advisory Council for several of the U.S. governing bodies for sport. Mm-hmm. And so we work with predominantly the athletes that have to make weight. So we have a program where they can continue to eat and not do these sort of starvation plans and eat these, you know, refined, poorly developed foods that aren't helping them any. They can make weight yet maintain their muscle mass and maintain their ability to compete at a high level, you know, keep their strength, their endurance up. And so because of that success we've had with that group, we've grown from just working with wrestlers back in the 96 Olympics mm-hmm. and the 2000 Olympics to now working with wrestling, judo, and weightlifting. Mm-hmm. And so we also will be taking care of their spines through chiropractic. We do a very cutting-edge type of chiropractic where we correct joint biomechanics and maximize their flexibility, and they're able to also maximize how their organs function that way and avoid injury. And then between that and the dietary part. And we also work with them on fitness because we mm-hmm. have a very efficient way of getting them in shape on a level that most of them have never gotten in shape in before. So we actually have several athletes we expect to win gold that prior to working with us, you mm-hmm. know, really probably wouldn't have won gold.
Great. Mm-hmm. Good. Then can you tell us how you would deal with a disease process and use your five essentials like with a cancer patient?
Yeah, and so again, you know, our primary focus is to build health and not end up in that situation, but clearly lots mm-hmm. of people will come to us who already do have some degenerative illness like cancer. And so whether or not they are doing the chemotherapy radiation route, you know, more of the standard medical model, mm-hmm. if they're doing it or not, we still take a similar approach. If they're, we get into nutrients and supplements that would protect them from the chemo and the radiation if they're going that route, and help them overcome just the damaging effect of that kind of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they were going to go alternatively, we wouldn't just see them in our clinics. We'd also refer them to mm-hmm. Some of the alternative specialists that there are around the country and mm-hmm. even around the world. We've sent people to Mexico. We've sent them to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
But through our five essentials, if you really look at stress, if you look at nerve system, if you look at nutrition, exercise, toxins, all those things are linked to, if done inappropriately, they're all linked to developing cancer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we begin to work backwards and say, okay, how do we get back on a track through those five essentials that you are producing healthy cells, building your immune system, stopping, you know, some of this mutation process that may have been going on, and getting you back on track to being a healthy person who has a healthy nerve system that can defeat cancer and can get the development of cells back under control. And so we're going to address the toxicity issue, you know, minimizing mm-hmm. their continual exposure in their life, as well as take them through a detox process. We're going to want to get them moving if they have not been physically exercising, and moving appropriately. So there's a right way to exercise, and then there's, you know, there's variations
mm-hmm.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting them on the ideal exercise program for them to, you know, maximize oxygenation, maximize hormone balance, but not overtax the system to where they end up stressing out their system and even succumbing even more to illness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then getting, you know, getting nutrients in their body that, you know, and really, really determining, you know, that balance of whether animal products, organic foods, looking at many of those things to make sure that they're not poisoning themselves, and as well as getting the nutrients they need, giving them supplements that help to build the immune system and so that the body can fight cancer. And there's a lot that links a healthy nerve system, a healthy spine and nerve system, to building an immune system and fighting disease. So between putting all five of these together, we really have given that person their best shot at building health and overcoming whatever's going on in their body.
Sounds like 21st century healthcare, right?
You would think so. So we're certainly pushing to make it that way.
Right.
So because hopefully as the medical model continues to fail, more and more people will not be seeking once again, how to get better insurance to receive it, but how to get healthier and invest in their future through natural methods and not just unfortunately sitting back and waiting for sickness to attack them.
Right, right. Then, Dr. Ben, would you tell us about your books, services, and products, and how the listeners can reach you?
Yes, if you go to maximizedliving.com, then you can hit Find a Doctor, and we have doctors all over the U.S. and Canada, as I mentioned, even Africa and Puerto Rico and the Caribbean, and they can hook up with a doctor who can help them find out what needs to be done to maximize their health, can walk them through these essentials, and help them to get well or to stay well. And then if they're looking for our books, they can search my name, Dr. Ben Lerner, on Amazon, and we've written 9 books, with the most recent one coming out is actually on turning your body into a cancer killer.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much. It's been very interesting, and I know it'll be interesting to the listeners. So I thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
After reading about, watching, and listening to Anne Margaret, Linda Gray, and others in the last issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com, I thought that issue could not be matched. But this one is another prize winner you will not want to miss. One of the highlights for me was listening to and reading about Willie Nelson and his long career as a singer, songwriter, author, poet, actor, and activist, and still going strong at age 79. Listening to him brought back memories of my deceased older brother, who was partial to Willie Nelson's music. Two other celebrities interviewed, Marilou Henner and Abigail Klein. Also memorable was listening to Billy Vera sing songs from the Golden Age and read about his life in film, radio, and TV, as well as listening to Charlie Langer play jazz on the saxophone. That brought back fond memories of my early adulthood in New York City, where I haunted the jazz clubs. On a more serious note, articles and videos were included on issues such as raids on raw milk and cheese farmers and people using these products, the biggest toxic waste cover-up in U.S. history in the Gulf Coast, the sex trade business, genetically modified foods, and the forbidden cures of cancer. These issues affect us all, and knowing about them is a first step toward advocating to assist in eliminating these injustices and dangers. Heartwarming stories and interviews are also included. One is about Salva Dutt, one of the lost boys who escaped from his village during the Sudanese Civil War and faced many hardships before arriving in the United States and becoming a citizen. He has since formed a charitable organization to drill wells so that the Sudanese people have clean water to drink. We are also introduced to Alex Mund, who works with displaced people, and we can read a letter from an 11-year-old environmentalist. I hope this brief overview will give you an idea of what's in store for you in the current issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest, Dr. John Neustadt, is co-founder of NBI Pharmaceuticals Incorporated and Nutritional Biochemistry Incorporated. He trained in naturopathic medicine at Bastyr University, where he was awarded the Founders Award for Academic and Clinical Excellence. He was medical director of Montana's Integrative Medicine and president and CEO of Nutritional Biochemistry Incorporated, an NBI Pharmaceuticals in Boise, Montana. Dr. Neustadt has written for the Huffington Post, worked as a journalist in Chile and San Francisco, has published more than 100 research reviews, and for one article, Dr. Neustadt and Pizenik were recognized by Elsevier as being a top 10 cited author in 2007-2008. Dr. Neustadt wrote the books Thriving Through Dialysis with Jonathan Wright, MD, and A Revolution in Health Through Nutritional Biochemistry, A Revolution in Health Part 2, How to Take Charge of Your Health, and the textbook Foundations and Applications of Medical Biochemistry in Clinical Practice with Dr. Pizenik. Dr. Neustadt is an editor of the textbook Laboratory Evaluations for Integrative and Functional Medicine, is on the editorial advisory board of the Journal of Prolotherapy. In August 2008, Dr. Neustadt was voted best doctor among all physicians in the Best of Bozeman survey. This is the first time a naturopathic physician has ever won this category. Dr. Neustadt has been a guest on numerous regional and national radio shows, including Coast to Coast, The Ronald Hoffman Show, The Frankie Boyle Show, The Steve Quayle Show, and Gesundheit with Jacobus. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Neustadt, and I look forward to hearing about osteoporosis. Now first, can you tell me what is osteoporosis?
Sure, I'd be happy to, and thank you very much for allowing me to be on your show. Osteoporosis is a disease of the bones. It affects the bones. It is a disease of low bone mineral density that leads to fragile or weaker bones that can in turn lead to fractures. And fractures are the most dangerous aspect of osteoporosis. Interestingly, the disease was actually defined back in the 1940s. It was defined while doing experiments with the ovaries removed from pigeons, mm-hmm. and they saw that the bones became weaker in x-rays, that the bones became more porous, they lost bone mineral density, and that became the definition of osteoporosis. Mm-hmm. But really what we're trying to do in 2012 and in these years and the research that we've been conducting on osteoporosis is work toward redefining the disease, not just of one of low bone density, but making sure people and clinicians view the disease as a disease that leads to the risk for fractures. Mm-hmm. Because just treating a number on a bone mineral density test, there's a test that's run to diagnose the disease and many times to monitor the progression of the disease or mm-hmm. the effectiveness of treatment. That test is called a bone density scan or a DEXA scan. It's an X-ray. X-rays are shot through the body, and it determines the density of the bones, and it just looks at the minerals. The problem with just tracking that is that test is not very predictive or very sensitive for a fracture. In fact, it only predicts 44% of women who will get a fracture and only 21% of men. So if doctors are only treating a number on a test, they're not really looking at the most dangerous aspect of the disease, and that is the risk for fractures. Mm-hmm. Every major medical organization that has published position statements on osteoporosis, including the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and the World Health Organization state that the risk for fracture depends on factors largely other than bone mineral density. And mm-hmm. so if people are just concerned about their bone density, they're missing the larger, holistic, integrative picture of how we can try and reduce fractures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then a lot of women take medications like Fosamax, Boniva, and Actonel, and these seem to actually increase the fracture risk. Can you comment on these medications?
Absolutely. That category of medications is called the bisphosphonates, As you mentioned, Fosamax, Actonel, Boniva, Zometa is another bisphosphonate medication. Previously, if it was considered that only the intravenous form of those medications that are used a lot in with cancer patients carried the most serious side effects. But now it's known that even the oral medications can not only increase and do increase the risk for fractures, which is a little bit ironic. You're trying to take a medication to decrease fracture risk, but after 3 to 5 years of taking it, it actually increases the fracture risk.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, it increases the risk up to 8%, a study concluded up in Canada that was published last year. It increases the risk up to 8% for another side effect called osteonecrosis of the jaw, literally where the jaw starts to disintegrate. And it's a very dangerous and scary situation, not just for the patient, but for the dentist, for the doctors, because there is no real known treatment at this point except for going in surgically and debriding the area and scraping the dead tissue away. And so these medications that were ostensibly produced and were produced to try and reduce fracture risk and increase bone density have some very serious side effects that many women and many people taking them are, rightly so, I think, quite scared of. But the question is, when you look at medications, all medications have some side effect profile. It's mm-hmm. got to be a benefit-risk mm-hmm. or risk-benefit typically discussed with the person's doctor or pharmacist to look at, you know, is the possible benefit of taking the medication, does that outweigh the risk? Well, what are the benefits? So, unfortunately, most doctors seem to treat just the number on the bone density test. They don't look necessarily at just the fracture risk. So they'll say, we're going to increase your bone density number, and Fosamax will do that. Well, they don't ask the question, unfortunately, and patients are not educated because I think of the media, because in general the way that these drugs are marketed and the way osteoporosis is discussed, it's typically discussed primarily as just a disease of bone mineral density and not discussed in the context of fracture risk. Patients haven't learned yet, and that's what I hope to help them learn, mm-hmm. that they should be asking their doctors, okay, you're recommending Fosamax or whatever the treatment may be, how much does it actually reduce the fractures? That's great that it may increase my risk or increase my bone density scan, but how much does it reduce my fracture risk? Because if a patient with osteoporosis fractures a hip, they have a 20% chance of dying in a year. Mm-hmm. And if they survive, they have a 20% chance of ending up in chronic nursing home care. And their risk for dying is elevated for up to 10 years after that compared to those who did not have a fracture. So it is a deadly, deadly disease. The question then with these medications is, how much do they reduce fracture risk?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in terms of spinal fractures, the bisphosphonate medications reduce them by, you know, maybe about 44-45%. Now, spinal fractures won't kill you. They can cause debilitating pain, but they won't kill you. When you look at hip fractures, they're less effective, maybe 24% or less reduction in hip fracture risk.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, are there other ways to decrease fracture risk other than the medications? Do all people need to be treated with the medications, or are there other ways to get better benefits without the side effects of those medications?
Mm-hmm. Sally Field would say, you need the medications, right?
Well, Sally Field is a paid spokesperson, and I don't believe she's an expert in osteoporosis.
Right.
And in fact, we sent her a letter years ago asking her to cease and desist promoting this dangerous product.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we have not actually heard her on the radio as much, and we did not get a response from our letter, but we did point out all the negative side effects and the dangers, and I think that she was promoting a very dangerous mm-hmm. product that actually subsequently now has a black box warning on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that after 5 years, those medications aren't even effective at reducing fracture risk any further. They stop working,
yeah.
And they increase the risk for fractures.
Great for you. Good. Then if someone just takes calcium and vitamin D, are they protected?
Well, that's the myth, of calcium and vitamin D. People think they're protected, and everybody that I ever talk to that thinks about osteoporosis and bone health, they think, well, I need to take my calcium. What, mm-hmm. what calcium should I take? What's the best form of calcium? The reality is how much do they reduce fracture risk? Well, we know, and the research shows, that calcium and vitamin D reduce fracture risk by maybe 16%. That's not that great. When people hear that, they tend to be quite surprised, because they're convinced that calcium is the great bone protector,
right.
And it's really not. And so, again, it comes down to education. And I think that the dairy industry has done a phenomenal job of putting millions and millions of dollars into advertising campaigns to promote calcium. Calcium is a huge business. But the research and the clinical trials just do not support that supplementing with calcium is going to give the greatest bone benefit.
Then a lot of people take dietary supplements. Are there other nutrients that should be taken as well?
That's a great question. And there are other nutrients that have actually been studied overseas and have shown to have a greater fracture-reducing potential. They're better at reducing fractures and building strong bones than calcium and vitamin D alone. The one that really stands out in the research is a nutrient called MK4.
Mm-hmm.
MK4 is a natural form of vitamin K2. A vitamin K2 is a category of vitamin K molecules naturally occurring. MK4 is one of those forms that is in that vitamin K2 category. Well, this nutrient has been studied for over 30 years in Japan, and it's actually been approved since 1995 in Japan for the treatment of osteoporosis and the pain of osteoporosis. Numerous clinical trials have been done on it, and it's been shown to decrease fractures by up to 87%.
Wow.
And that is better than any of the medications actually out there on the market. It's not approved as a medication in the United States. That's why I'm answering the question more as a dietary supplement question, because it is available as a dietary supplement. But this is where it's important, similar to the calcium and vitamin D question, you know, buyer beware. You know, you need to understand the research, look for citations, research citations when health claims are made on websites or they make claims like that. Look for the studies that are cited. Make sure that they feel comfortable. It's a reputable company. But also make sure, especially with the vitamin K2, that they're using the MK4 form. Because, as I mentioned previously, there are different forms of vitamin K2. MK4 is one. It's also called metatetranone. MK7 is another form. MK7 is typically used in smaller doses, once a day. The MK4 that's been shown to reduce the fractures is used in the amount of 45 milligrams a day, shown to be completely safe. Mm-hmm. There have been more than 6,000 patients followed for up to 6 years in Japan. At 45 milligrams a day and more of the MK4, even with kidney failure and liver failure, in the published research, and with no serious side effects, no increased risk of blood clotting, because a lot of doctors will hear, oh, that's a high amount of vitamin K, it's going to clot you. The reality is no. Most doctors are not trained in nutritional medicine. They're not familiar with vitamin K other than it's used for blood clotting. But the reality is once your body has enough vitamin K to clot, it can't clot anymore. And it's the MK4 form, and only that form of the vitamin K2 that's been shown to reduce fractures. The MK7 form can change some blood parameters if you do a blood test, but it's never been shown to reduce fractures. And again, it's fractures that are the most dangerous aspect of osteoporosis, not a blood test or not a bone density test, but actually the fractures. And the MK4 has been shown to improve bone mineral density and decrease fractures, but not primarily by increasing bone mineral density. It works primarily by increasing the quality of the bone, the strength of the bone, by promoting the growth of the collagen, the connective tissue in bone. It's that collagen that gives bone its elasticity, really its strength, and provides the scaffolding on which the calcium and other minerals combine. But it's that collagen that allows bone, if you fall, and falling is the number one risk for a fracture, if you fall, that the impact of that fall, the bone can take that impact, disperse it over a wider area. It won't be fragile. It can deform slightly and not break. And that's building the bone strength, the quality of the bone. And that's what the MK4 does, as well as helping with that bone mineral density. The nice thing about nutrients, when you're talking about these powerful nutrients that can help promote healthy bones or different systems in the body is that because the body is biochemical and uses one nutrient for multiple biochemical activities in the body, you can actually have other benefits as well. And it's this MK4 form of vitamin K2 that was actually studied and also shown, interestingly enough, to stop and reverse calcium buildup in the arteries.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So it's a very powerful nutrient.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Neustadt, you worked with thousands of women in your practice that have osteoporosis. Can you summarize your approach with this group?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, the first approach is to make sure that it's been diagnosed properly. And the only way to diagnose osteoporosis is with a bone density scan. That is the diagnostic criteria. And I would just say, well, I mentioned before, it only predicts 44% of women who will get a fracture and only 21% of men. It's not that sensitive and it's not that specific. It is one piece of information that is important to get and important to track.
Mm-hmm.
Then, though, looking at why they may have osteoporosis is very, very important, because if we can find out the underlying cause and correct it, then that's going to give long-term benefits.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, the underlying cause might be medications they're taking. Prednisone, for example. Prednisone is known to increase the risk for osteoporosis and osteoporotic fractures by up to 200%. It leaches the calcium out of the body. It weakens the bones. And this is oral prednisone taken for 6 months
mm-hmm.
or longer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the studies show. The MK4, again, the 45 milligrams a day in clinical trials have been shown to stop and reverse that bone loss from prednisone. Other medications, those proton pump inhibitors, the acid-blocking medications like Zantac and Protonix that are prescribed, they're available over the counter in the United States now and prescribed by doctors. They've never been approved by the U.S. FDA for longer than I believe it's about 3 weeks of continual use. People are taking them for years at a time continuously.
Mm-hmm.
Research now shows that that may increase the risk for hip osteoporosis and hip fractures by up to 60% after 4 years of taking them. So if we can get people off of those medications, all the better. That would
mm-hmm.
be to their benefit. If they have any other autoimmune diseases can cause osteoporosis, so trying to address and look at those issues are important. Also looking, if it's a man, for example, low testosterone can lead to osteoporosis, as can celiac disease, so ruling out those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Then looking at what we can do proactively to reduce fracture risk, the research is very clear. Optimizing the diet, the Mediterranean-style diet, that good, healthy diet with whole fruits and vegetables, grains, good amounts of lean proteins every day has been shown to reduce the risk for osteoporosis, that dietary pattern. Exercising, very important. It doesn't have to mean that you're going and pumping iron in the gym all day long or every day.
Mm-hmm.
Really something as simple as standing on one leg while you brush your teeth, maybe 30 seconds while you brush the bottom teeth, switching legs 30 seconds while you brush the top teeth, twice a day, that can reduce the risk for falling.
Mm-hmm.
Even better, getting out and walking. That helps your stability, your core balance. Exercising can be great if you do want to get into the gym, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Balance exercises are phenomenal. Qigong, for example, also great. Anything that, again, increases that core balance is very important to reduce the risk of falling. Making sure the home environment is safe, that the pathways are well lit, that there are not furniture in the middle of pathways that people can fall on.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that throw rugs are removed, because those throw rugs can have loose edges, corners that people can catch their feet on and fall, trip and fall. Making sure if there are any loose steps, stairways, that those are fixed. Railings in the bathtub that people can hold to grip to get in and out of, also very important. And then in terms of supplementation, I do recommend that people try as a dietary supplement to promote bone health, mm-hmm. to promote healthy bones, the 45 milligrams per day of MK4 with calcium and vitamin D, and to do repeat bone density scans at the regularly scheduled intervals and see if it's stabilized, if the bone density scans improved, or if it's continuing to deteriorate or not. I think those are very important.
Mm-hmm.
In very severe cases, you might consider a medication. But in a lot of cases, if it's pre-osteoporosis or they've just been diagnosed with osteoporosis and the bone density test is not that severe. They've never had a previous osteoporotic fracture, because the biggest risk factor for a predictive factor for a future fracture is having a past osteoporotic fracture.
Mm-hmm.
So if they haven't had that, there aren't any they're not on medications that cause fractures, I frequently will consider the natural approach before recommending medications. But I also recommend that people get a second opinion and they educate themselves as much as possible so that they can make the best choices for their own health.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, Dr. Neustadt, would you tell us about your book, Services and Products, and how the listeners can locate these?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So my partner, he and I have written three books. Probably the best one for the general public would be A Revolution in Health Through Nutritional Biochemistry. It's available on Amazon. We've got a part two to that book, A Revolution in Health, part two, How to Take Charge of Your Health. And then we wrote a very technical textbook for clinicians, Foundations and Applications of Medical Biochemistry in Clinical Practice. But really for the general public, the first book is probably the best one. It takes a lot of the concepts of biochemical medicine, boils them down into very easy to understand terms so people can really understand how the body works and how they can take charge of their own health to promote their own health. Based on the research and the need to help bring some of these products to the U.S. or these nutrients into the U.S. that have been shown through clinical trials around the world to really help people, we did actually create an osteoporosis supplement called OsteoK.
Mm-hmm.
More information can be found at nbihealth.com, because there was no other product in the country that had the amount of the MK4 vitamin K nutrient, 45 milligrams a day. That's the amount used and approved in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
No, there was no product in the U.S. or no opportunity for people to get that in the U.S. to help build healthy, stronger bones. And so we created, out of necessity, we created a company and brought that product into the U.S.
Great. Good. Well, I thank you very much, Dr. Neustadt, and this has been very interesting, and I look forward to talking with you again during my next series. So
thank you very much. The pleasure was mine. I appreciate mm-hmm. the opportunity to speak with you.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My third guest is Dr. Kathy Lipman, who is an author, lecturer, and singular holistic medical doctor. She uses a whole-body approach to identify the real reasons why a person is feeling sick, instead of just treating symptoms. She finds that treating the whole person alleviates the symptoms, as well as giving the person renewed sense of strength and wellness. Dr. Lipman first studied conventional medicine and received her M.D. in 1973 from the University of Chicago Pritzker School of Medicine. After a pediatric internship at USC Medical Center, she studied adult and child psychiatry at UCLA and was board certified in each specialty. Soon after, she became dissatisfied with the limitations of a purely psychiatric focus and changed her practice from psychiatry to alternative medicine in order to address the whole individual. That was 30 years ago. Dr. Lipman is referred to as a medical resource in books authored by Suzanne Summers, Ageless, Breakthrough, and Knockout. Dr. Lipman is a regular guest on TV and radio shows. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Kathy, and I look forward to hearing your views on alternative medicine. Now, first, you are a medical doctor with a broad range of viewpoints and interest. What led you into environmental medicine?
Well, I had an interesting experience when I was doing my residency and fellowship in psychiatry and child psychiatry at UCLA. I'd heard about environmental medicine, which was then called clinical ecology,
mm-hmm.
and that there was a study group of practitioners in this area. Got myself invited to one of the study groups, and the speaker that night was Melvin Werbach, who is a recognized psychiatrist,
mm-hmm.
and he told the story of a patient of his with panic attacks whose attacks were diminished by 80% when she eliminated corn from her diet.
Hmm.
And I was thinking, nobody has ever taught me that in my years of psychiatry training. You mean she did not need medication? All she had to do was eliminate corn from her diet, and she felt so much better? And that really intrigued me, and I apprenticed myself to learn how to do the specific kind of testing for environmental medicine, and it's been a great ride since then. So we're talking a number of years ago.
Right. I hadn't heard of environmental medicine since I left Hopkins, and we had Anna Baicher. Have you ever heard that name?
I've heard that name.
Yeah, she was the person that wrote in the public health books that were written at Hopkins. She was the environmental health, environmental medicine person. So I hadn't heard environmental medicine for quite some time.
Right.
Then, Kathy, many adults worry that their forgetfulness means they are developing early dementia. Are people really losing their mental abilities at a young age?
I don't think so. I think that there's a tremendous amount people could be doing for themselves. It's amazing. I've had a number of patients, for example, who are elderly, who've been brought to me because their families are very concerned that they're showing early signs of dementia. And when we provided them with nutrients and made some lifestyle recommendations that they followed, they perked right up, which is not to say that I'm diminishing that dementia is not a serious ailment. It certainly is. But there are things that people can do for themselves of a basically simple nature. The first one, I think that many people don't realize, is just drinking enough water. And when I say water, I'm not talking about coffee or tea or even green tea or sodas or juices. There's a big difference between those and water. If I may go on for a moment, I'm sure you know, Carl, that our bodies are basically 70% water, and our brains are 80% water. So they're really important. One of the examples I use to try to stress the importance is imagine a river system, and the blood vessels in the body are like a river system. And on the river, we carry goods to and from cities and from manufacturing plants to where the item is needed. And in the same way, we carry our nutrients in our blood system, and we carry away waste, and it has to be liquid enough. It's, you know, like the difference between drinking water and having thick ketchup in your arteries. That wouldn't work as well. So that's one reason why it's so important.
I find that a lot of older people don't drink enough water, and another problem they have is dizziness. And for some reason, I don't know what the connection is, but I've known a lot of older people that have had, you know, problems with their equilibrium, and I'll check, and it's water, and once they start drinking more water, then they, at least the ones that I've talked with, have been all right. I don't know why. Do you, maybe you can tell me if there's a relationship.
Oh, I'm sure there's a relationship. I honestly don't know just what it is.
Yeah. And so I try very hard to make sure that I drink at least 2 quarts a day of water, because I find it very important. Then, Kathy, could you tell us your next tip then for helping people that are having some mental difficulties?
The next tip has to do with nutrients. So when we used to drink water hundreds of years ago, it would be from rivers or from lakes directly. And what we forget is that those rivers and lakes contain a lot of nutrients in them. There are plant material and animals, and there would be a lot of minerals, especially in the water. And that was one way we obtained those minerals. However, nowadays, water is all filtered. Mm-hmm. And especially if you get the super duper filter so that you make sure even your tap water is clean, it gets rid of everything that's in the water, so the water is only wet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not having that source anymore. And people really need those minerals, which they can get mm-hmm. from good foods, obviously, especially vegetables. I tell people I've never had anybody come in my office who was eating too many vegetables.
Right, right.
And generally good foods and not eating a bunch of sugar or highly processed carbohydrates, because those just wash the nutrients right out of us.
Mm-hmm.
So the minerals can make a big difference. I was thinking you were talking about the dizziness
mm-hmm.
and lightheadedness, and it's amazing how many people have said to me who, you know, they felt tired a lot, and they mm-hmm. felt as though they had sort of foggy brains that weren't working quite right. When they started having more water and more minerals, they perked right up.
Mm-hmm. You know, I drank distilled water for quite a while because mm-hmm. I thought, well, at least it doesn't have any bacteria or anything in it. And I knew that it depleted you of all the minerals and everything. But then
yeah.
I read that it also tended to turn the body more acidic. And I thought, well, I don't need any help because I tend to be quite acidic anyhow. And
uh-huh.
so then I switched and stopped drinking the distilled, and now I drink spring water.
Excellent.
Because I don't think the city water, I don't like the taste of the chlorine and all.
Yes. And do you see a difference in how you feel?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
Then,
great.
Kathy, do you have other recommendations for people that are concerned about their mental ability?
Yes. The next recommendation, and this is something we don't think of as a nutrient, is sleep.
Mm-hmm.
The ancient traditions consider sleep a nutrient. Unfortunately, in our 24/7 society, even as we get older, we think, I haven't been on my emails, or I haven't taken this, or I haven't taken care of that. And we get so busy, we're not giving ourselves a chance to really give our bodies the chance to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And sleep is when we recharge our batteries, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And people need more sleep than we have been getting. There was a wonderful study done number of years ago at an Eastern university where people were put in the situation, so-called normal people, were told that they could have no artificial light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what else was there to do? No, they slept.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, this was a six-week study, initially they slept on average 12 to 14 hours.
Wow.
That's how sleep-deprived we are.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the study, they were sleeping 9 hours a night. And what was interesting is that all the participants commented on how much better they felt,
mm-hmm.
how happier they were, how much better they got along with their families, how much more energy they had, they were more productive, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. I usually think of 8 hours as the goal, and I don't do well if I don't get the 8 hours. I don't know if that's psychological or whether
uh-huh.
it's physical, but I usually try to have 8 hours of sleep, but then I also often will have a nap in the afternoon, maybe 45
yeah.
minutes. I lay down,
uh-huh.
and I'll sleep for 45 minutes, and then I get up and I'm fine for the rest of the day. And so I've asked several people my age, and they all tell me, yeah, they take naps in the afternoon too.
Sure.
So
napping is a wonderful invention. Humans have been doing it for probably thousands of years.
Oh, yeah. So, Kathy, is there anything else you would like to tell us then about dementia or mental abilities of people as they get older?
The only other thing, besides the water and having enough minerals and getting enough sleep, is exercise. Keep your body moving.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
when we move is when we get our juices flowing. We get the nutrients that we're taking in to the different cells and tissues all over our body as we need them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to get rid of the metabolic waste products as a result of our metabolism much more easily. So just as I was talking about that river system, you
mm-hmm.
know, if that river mm-hmm. isn't flowing, then we can't get our products where we need them, and we can't get rid of the waste where we need to. So keep moving, even if it's a walk several times a day, and doesn't have to, you know, people don't have to run marathons to get adequate exercise. Exercise is tremendously valuable. If people would do these four things, incorporate them into their lifestyle, I think many people would feel much better.
Right, I agree. Right. Now, Kathy, would you like to tell us about your books and services and products you have and how the listeners can reach you?
Certainly. I practice environmental and preventive medicine in Beverly Hills. I use a lot of homeopathy, herbs, and nutrients, and I take a very individualized approach to my patients. I do have a handbook for people staying healthy in a challenging world that's available through our office. My office phone number is 310-289-8430. If people want to look at my website, they can just Google Doc Lipp, D-O-C-L-I-P-P, or they can look directly on the website at www.kathylippmanmd.com. And Kathy is spelled C-A-T-H-I-E, and Lippman is L-I-P-P, two P's as in Peter, M-A-N-M-D.com. I also have a blog that people can look at, which is also called Staying Healthy in a Challenging World. And I just want to thank you, Carl, for all the service you provide in educating the public and making this information available, and what a wonderful inspiration you are in terms of how you've taken care of yourself.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Now, I did want to ask you, do you see people at a distance by phone, or do you have people come into your office?
Normally, I have people come into my office.
Okay, great.
I do a rather extensive, comprehensive workup of the people, and it's much easier to do that here.
Yeah, good. Well, I thank you very much, Kathy. This has been very interesting, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you for the privilege, Carl. You be well.
Thank you. You too. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.